been talking a little bit this year about Jesus as our sovereign. And last week, for the last couple of weeks, we kind of introduced the idea that God is, in fact, our judge. He's the one to whom we submit our lives for evaluation. We don't submit our life for evaluation to the God of money, or the God of prestige, or the God of fame, or the God that we see around us every day. We submit our lives for evaluation to the sovereign judge. We talked about God as judge last week, and in the course of that discussion, I think I prompted some questions in the minds of some. People said, does God judge nations today like he did in the past? Just exactly how does God judge? And so I want to take some time to address that question. Of course, how does God judge? And you know me, you ask me a question, you're likely to get a one-word answer. Not. I tend to overthink things sometimes. But as I was reflecting on how to answer that question about God as judge, it occurred to me that we need to think about this in terms of when judgment is happening. And just exactly who is going to be judged when that judgment happens. So we're going to divide this question into some parts. We're going to try to answer the parts. We get into a lot of problems when we read a statement that's made in the Bible, but we forget about the context that that statement is talking about. We read statements about judgment, and sometimes we get into a world of problems because we forget what that judgment is talking about. So, we're going to try to do some things to simplify the situation and to help us get a handle on when judgment happens. This is going to be an unusual sermon because we're not going to talk about the biblical information today. What we're going to do is lay out the course that we're going to follow as we try to understand this. And of course, that course can be kind of complicated. So bear with me. First, we're going to talk about how there is a judgment that comes from God in an ongoing sense. This is judgment that's happening here and now. Judgment that we get to see every day. It is an ongoing judgment. And this ongoing judgment has a lot of characteristics. It's a shared judgment. It's one that God is a participant in as judge, and in fact, we get to be participants in this ongoing kind of judgment, so it's a shared judgment. It has a basis, as do all judgments. There's some way to know how the judgment is going to be reached. And in terms of this ongoing judgment, it appears to me that it's based on God's revealed will, the Bible, and it's also based in part on our informed conscience. Now, our conscience can be informed, of course, by biblical information. And sometimes our conscience is informed by biblical information even though we don't really understand or we've never really read the Bible, we understand that there are some things that are wrong, that's been communicated to us by our culture, our society, and sometimes our culture is informed by God. Most everybody that I know believes that it's wrong to murder. Most people don't believe that belief that it's wrong to murder comes from God, or they would argue that it doesn't have anything to do with God. It's a cultural thing. I would argue that that's something that God told man about, and it became so ingrained in our culture that we now think that it came from us. It didn't. It came from God in the beginning, but it informs our conscience. Now, it's also possible for our conscience to be informed by information that didn't come from God. And just like we forget that our belief that it's wrong to murder comes from God, it's also possible for us to think that beliefs that are shared culturally didn't come from Satan. So we'll talk about the conscience informed by God as a part of this ongoing judgment. Now, this ongoing judgment that we're looking at first is a judgment that involves individuals, each one of us individually, and we'll look at the biblical information that'll help us understand this beginning next week. It also includes a judgment on groups. Now, the group that's going to be judged in this ongoing judgment might be a nation. I've read several people who said that God judges nations by giving them bad leaders. And then we have to suffer through the bad leaders. Maybe that's the case. It's possible that families are a group that's judged in this ongoing judgment. How is our family doing? It's possible that this judgment, this ongoing judgment, includes churches. You know, we as a body are a part of this ongoing judgment. We submit our activities as a body to the judge to be evaluated by the judge. And the good thing about this ongoing judgment that's going on right now, that's happening every day around us, is that this ongoing judgment permits ongoing repentance. I can submit myself to the evaluator. The evaluator evaluates my behavior, and thankfully, oh, so thankfully, I have the ability to course correct. I get sideways with what I ought to be doing. But because of this ongoing judgment, I get to correct a little bit. So there's the possibility of repentance. And that is such a blessing. And then we're going to turn our attention to a final judgment. Now, this final judgment shares some characteristics with this ongoing judgment, and we'll talk about the shared characteristics, and we'll talk about the unique characteristics of this final judgment. This final judgment, sadly, doesn't provide for repentance. Don't get to the final judgment and say, "You're right, God. I should have been doing it this way. And I'll fix it. I'll do better. I will repent. I will live the way I'm supposed to live." That's not a part of the final judgment. And we have to realize that. This final judgment shares a characteristic with the ongoing judgment in that it's for all men. And this final judgment is unique in that it does not share the characteristic that this final judgment is individual. Yes, I'm a part of a family, and my family is judged. I'm a part of this church, and this church is judged. I'm a part of this nation, and this nation is judged in an ongoing way. But in the final judgment, I have to stand by myself. I don't get to have anyone there with me except for Jesus. But I have to stand by myself. And of course, that's a bit of a challenge to us. When I was teaching, I used to give tests. And I always told my students, I taught graduate level students, I used to tell my students, "I'm giving you the test. Sit down with your colleagues. Take the test together. This is a learning experience. Just remember that after you graduate, before you can practice as a school psychologist, you have to take the praxis exam." Nolan could tell us about taking that from a nursing standpoint. Teachers can tell us about taking the teaching test. And you know what? When you take that test, you don't get to be with colleagues. You don't get to have your notes. You don't get to have your book with you. You have to do it by yourself. And that's a little bit daunting. So the moral of that story is take this time that you can be with your colleagues and face the test that I'm giving to prepare yourself for this final test. It's individually focused. And this final test is unique in that there's only one standard of judgment. Conscience doesn't matter. Conscience is not a part of this. It's God's revealed will. And that's what we stand before God based upon. So we're going to talk about these aspects of judgment. Ongoing aspect, final judgment aspect. We're going to talk about the opportunity for repentance and how there is no final opportunity for repentance. But I just wanted to give you a hint of what we're doing as we talk about this, because we're going to start talking about an ongoing judgment. I don't want anybody to think that what I have to say about an ongoing judgment is my understanding of what the final judgment looks like. That would be a mistake. So this will prepare you. Hopefully you can be with us again next week, and we'll talk beginning next week about the ongoing judgment. And hopefully we can get a better understanding of the idea of judgment. Well, it may be that you're here today and you're thinking about your life and how you're going to submit it to an evaluator. And ultimately, that evaluator is going to make a decision about heaven and hell based on God's revealed will. But today, you get to make an ongoing judgment about yourself, and you have the opportunity to make things right Now, of course, it's going to take Jesus to do that. And we've talked about that on a number of different occasions. Don't ever think you could make it right by yourself. You can't. It's kind of like once you've ripped apart a feather pillow and just strewn all of the feathers into the wind, you can't fix it. You can't gather all those pieces up and put them back into the feather pillow. Kind of like David said, we're like milk spilled out on the ground. It can't be gathered back up. With God's help, we can do that. We can make right what we've made wrong. Put Jesus on in baptism. It's a wonderful opportunity. And it may be that as you reflect on your life, you say, I've not been what I ought to have been. Take advantage of that ongoing judgment for ongoing repentance. Because God has promised that He will restore us. It's a wonderful blessing. So we want to give you an opportunity to take advantage of that blessing.